First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Going to get you started with a couple of headlines that you need to know. The U.S. Women's Open has been postponed until December. That's according to the USGA announcing on Friday. The event had been scheduled for June 4th through 7th at Champions Golf Club in Houston. It'll now be played December 10th through 13th. That, of course, is because of the coronavirus pandemic. We continue to see the fallout from that in virtually everything we do and everything that we continue to see moving forward. Also, interesting note here, Giannis Antetokounmpo inside his Wisconsin house. The reigning MVP has been cooking, cleaning, spending time with family, and working out. But he hasn't been playing basketball. He doesn't have access to a hoop. He admitted in Friday's conference call, a lot of NBA players have a court in their house or something, but now I just get home, workouts, ride the bike, treadmill, lift weights, and pretty much stay sharp that way. But I don't play basketball. Interesting to see what that is like, because how many players would have ever planned for a pandemic that would close down their facilities? So, it'll be interesting to see if that results in any sort of rust for them as they continue to see what the fallout is and how long the fallout will last. And on a more positive note, no, he's not a doctor. No, he doesn't have medical expertise, but Clemson's Dabo Swinney has hope. Amid ongoing concerns and escalating coronavirus infection rates in the U.S., the Clemson coach has said he remains optimistic that college football will start on time. He said, that's the best case scenario. I think that's going to happen. I don't have any doubt. I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and the stands are going to be packed. No, I don't imagine what else he could possibly say in the position he's in. But let's spread a little light in a dark, dark world for so many people. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. And we've been asking you, this weekend, WrestleMania comes to us. It's a two-day pay-per-view. Obviously, they're not able to do it the way it was originally intended. It's gone down at their training facility with limited people there, obviously. We're going to see a two-day pay-per-view, but in a little celebration of something that is at least resembling what we're used to, some sense of normalcy, some sense of sport. It gives us the opportunity through sports entertainment to stroll down memory lane. And the great part about it is, whether you're a recent fan or whether you're like me and you grew up a huge fan as a kid, we all seem to have WrestleMania memories. So, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Jason Fitch. Give us your best WrestleMania memories. We'll get to a little bit of NFL talk in just a second, but you guys are so fired up, I want to give you the chance to start the hour with some of your take. Keegan, in Indiana, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Hey, I am 35 years old, so I grew up, came into wrestling really right at the end of Hulk Hogan's prime. And then there was The Rock really at the top of his game. So WrestleMania 18, Hogan versus The Rock. And the lead up to that match, the NWO had beat up Rock, put him in an ambulance. Hogan hit him with a semi-truck. Then going into the match, Hogan is still trying to be the bad guy, but the fans were cheering on Hogan. I just thought it was a great passing of the torch for that part of the era.
Well, and that's what WrestleMania was about so many times, the passing of the torch. You mentioned it there, and anybody that's watched some of the documentaries that go back to the Hogan-Andre the Giant Slam, that was a huge passing of the torch moment for greatness. Adam, in Indiana, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Jason, thanks for having me on. This is an easy one. I do want to let you know, you did make the comment about people that have been to WrestleMania. I have went to two consecutive WrestleManias, 22 and 23, in Chicago and Detroit. The greatest sports experience of my life. But my favorite WrestleMania moment, hands down, WrestleMania 24, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Rick's retirement match, and Rick in the corner on his knees, begging and crying for Shawn to super kick him and get it over with.
Oh, that's a good one. I'll admit my own bias, though, like as a little kid. When I was really little, the first thing that got me into wrestling was I grew up in Vegas, for anyone that doesn't know, and AWA used to come out there and do live events. And when I was a little kid, I would go with my dad to some of those events, and the Midnight Rockers, which later became the Rockers, were my favorite tag team. They were life. So Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty were life. Like, I was obsessed with the Midnight Rockers as a kid. They go to the WWF at the time. They become a big deal as the Rockers. I'm equally obsessed then. When they broke up, oh, man, I never got over that. Like, that's like a band breaking up. I can't support the solo act. So I never was able to support Shawn Michaels because it was the end of the Rockers. So my own bias getting in there. Lonnie in Missouri, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
So mine would be the final, Sting finally showing up to a WrestleMania. I grew up with watching wrestling with my grandfather. We watched you know, Harley Race, the Junkyard Dog, all them guys. But it wasn't until Sting finally showed up, faced Triple H. Now, granted, I would have rather seen Sting win, but to finally see him on the grandstand stage of WrestleMania.
Now, that was an incredible one, and that meant so much to Sting. I actually had the opportunity to talk to him right before that, and it meant so much for him to be able to be a part of that event. Matt on Twitter says, too many to choose from, but Macho Man winning the tournament right up there. That's not right up there. It's the ultimate one. Scott says, another one for me would be WrestleMania 6 when Hulk and the Ultimate Warrior main evented. We've gotten a lot of people chiming in on that one. Jason says, greatest match ever was HBK and Hitman Iron Man match. Hulk versus Andre and Hulk versus Warrior Classics 2. Sir comes in and says, dude, I love Stone Cold Steve Austin beating Shawn Michaels' booty at WrestleMania 15, I think it was. Love this. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Want your favorite WrestleMania memories? You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Let's get one more in real quick before we move on. Derek in Jersey. Derek, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory? Well, we lost Derek. Thought we had him. We lost Derek. So we'll keep taking him in just a second, but we're going to get some Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You've been listening to the show. We know that First Take every day takes a different quarterback and team, and they move it forward with the QB Continued series. See what we did there with the clever naming? QB Continued. So QB Continued today takes a look at Deshaun Watson and what should be expected from him, without DeAndre Hopkins. Stephen A. and Max broke it down.
Listen, Kenny Stills and Will Fuller and those boys can play, and I get that. And Deshaun Watson, still has them available to him. But Bill O'Brien is still a coach, and he's your executive as well. I don't understand how in God's name he's gotten this power. He must have pictures on somebody or something. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But to give away DeAndre Hopkins is just inexplicable to me, particularly for the price that you paid. You got less for him than the Giants got for Odell Beckham Jr. I don't understand it. I really, really don't. When you look at DeAndre Hopkins, arguably the best hands in football, he was targeted by Deshaun Watson 150 times. Of the 495 passes that Deshaun Watson threw last year, 150 times DeAndre Hopkins was his target. Matter of fact, I think that was too little. He should have been targeted more, for crying out loud, which is another question mark in regards to Bill O'Brien. The fact that Bill O'Brien is there and that he clearly made this move for personal reasons, not business sense whatsoever, I don't know what to expect from Houston, but I'm not expecting anything positive, I can tell you that much.
Do you know how bad a GM Bill O'Brien is? Forget about Bill O'Brien, the coach, right? Who may have an overrated reputation as a quarterback whisperer based on New England or whatever, you know, and of course now he has the magic man in Deshaun
Watson. Did a good
Watson
job at Penn State, though. Did a good job at Penn State.
Pressure. Yeah. Oh, I'm talking about in the pros. You're right. I mean, in the pros. Who seems to be a magic man under pressure, Deshaun Watson, speaking of college and the pros. Could you imagine for a second, Stephen A., and I've already brought up, obviously their fortunes will decrease, right? Obviously, you move a great player and get back a player on a bad contract and don't even get a first-round pick. You're not going to do as well the second year as you did the first. He's really relying on the continued improvement of Deshaun Watson. But could you imagine, even if that's the case, and Watson keeps getting better and better, which he may, could you imagine Bill Walsh coming in to the quarterback room telling Joe Montana, hey, Joe, got some news for you. You know, I know you and Jerry have this good thing going on. You have a good connection. We moved Jerry Rice. We got back a running back on a bad deal who hasn't been good in a couple of years and a second round draft pick. So here we go. Let's try to win the Super Bowl. Could you imagine? I still can't get over that deal. Of course they're worse off. And by the way, Stephen A., if somehow they get better because Deshaun Watson is ascending, then still they would have been even better if you have an all-world receiver and his favorite target there. Like, I can't even begin to imagine the football reasons that you move DeAndre Hopkins.
Max, let me throw this at you, and let's just go back and forth here and entertain this question. What kind of relationship does Bill O'Brien have with Deshaun Watson? Because the way I view it, it's one of two things. Either you are so comfortable with him and you believe he is so comfortable with you that you think you can get away with justifying this to him, or you don't have much of a relationship with him and you don't give a damn what he thinks. You're the boss and that's it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if you have coached under Belichick, you might think that you take some of that Patriot way with you. It seems successful, right? So how did Belichick get away with behaving as a kind of soberly and impersonally in terms of roster decisions and such? How did he get away with it? Because he won. What has Bill O'Brien done as the head coach of the Houston Texans that makes him think that he has the kind of gravitas with his players around the league that he can make a boneheaded decision like moving an all-time great wideout in his prime, who is the favorite weapon and an amazing tandem with his star quarterback, without the quarterback's blessing, without consulting him? I don't understand. And the fact, Stephen A., that he has the powers of the GM in addition to the coach is unbelievable to me.
That's some Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and I think what Max just said there is absolutely true. We're scratching our head trying to figure out what exactly the Texans are doing and what Bill O'Brien's strategy is. Now, if you've been listening, you know that every day we like to take the QB Continued series and move it a step farther with an expert. So we're joined now by ESPN Texans reporter Sarah Barship joining us. Sarah, thanks for some time. I hope you're staying safe first and foremost with everything. Your reaction to sort of where the Texans are right now, now that DeAndre Hopkins isn't there, where does this team stand in the AFC South?
You know, I think this is a division that last year, the Tennessee obviously was probably the best team, even though the Texans did win the division. But I don't know, and I don't know how good they're going to be. I actually think the Colts could be pretty good. So maybe they can keep winning the division as they have under Bill O'Brien. But I think when you look at this team, I don't think they're better than last year. And on paper, yes, they were three quarters away from going to their first AFC championship game in franchise history. But when you look at how the season went, how that playoff game against Buffalo went, I don't think that's like, oh, yeah, this is how good we are, right? I don't think that's indicative of how good they were last year. So when you look at this roster they brought back, and now without DeAndre Hopkins, I don't think they've taken a step forward.
We're talking to ESPN Texans reporter Sarah Barship. And Sarah, that's really interesting to me because with any other team, it feels like we obsess over whether or not they're getting maximum return on a great quarterback that's in his rookie contract. For some reason, that same sort of microscope or magnifying glass, I should say, hasn't hit Bill O'Brien. Why?
I don't know. It has to do with ownership, I think. I mean, he's been essentially the general manager since last June. And the Clowney trade to me still is not surprising, but did it make sense? They didn't get the right value for him. Now with the DeAndre Hopkins trade again, what owner is letting their general manager / head coach trade away a player like that? So I think there's just maybe not as much accountability. Kyle McNair clearly trusts Bill O'Brien. I think that's what it is, right? Like, he says, you said you're going to win me a championship game. You clearly believe this is how we're going to do it, and so I'm going to let you do what you think we need to do. As as everyone talked about, there's not a lot of coaches in the league that have this power for good reason, because it's a very hard job to do two jobs at the same time. And I think that's Bill O'Brien has struggled since he's taken on the GM role.
We're talking to ESPN Texans reporter Sarah Barship. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. With that being said, much was made of Deshaun Watson going to Twitter and tweeting out Drake lyrics. And what does that mean for DeAndre Hopkins and the way he feels about the organization? So at this point, do you have any sense of Deshaun Watson and where he is sort of emotionally with the organization?
I get the sense that he's not happy with the move. But if we're talking about, does Deshaun Watson all of a sudden not want to play in Houston? Does he not want to sign the contract extension that will be opposite? I don't think so. That's not the sense I get from talking to people around him. He's not happy. Hopkins, on and off the field, was a good friend. They built a lot of chemistry. They had the Clemson connection. So, yes, he was not happy when he was gone. But to me, when I think about his relationship with Bill O'Brien, I think back to last season. He was asked at the end of the season, I think it was after they lost to Kansas City in the playoffs, and he was asked about Bill O'Brien's future. And he could have easily said, I support Bill O'Brien. Like, I want to be my coach. Instead, he went in and said, I believe so much in Bill O'Brien. As long as I'm here, Like, I want him to be here. He has my whole heart. I play so hard for him. I mean, he seemed very genuine in this. And so I think they have a very strong relationship. And, yes, he may not agree with the decision. He may not be happy about trading DeAndre Hopkins. But I do think he trusts the head coach.
You guys can follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barship. Sarah, we appreciate your expertise. Thanks for hanging out with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. I will continue to say loudly that the Texans have wasted an opportunity with a quarterback in Deshaun Watson that is not just good, it's spectacular. And we're going to have to look at some point and ask if they've surrounded him with the right pieces to give him the best opportunity to win, or they just have they just relied on him somehow to win them games. I think we're underappreciating how poorly the job has been done by Bill O'Brien. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Go get your quote at progressive.com today. We've been asking you to chime in your favorite WrestleMania memories this weekend. WrestleMania is going to hit us. So what are your favorite WrestleMania memories? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tyler in Georgia, what do you got as your favorite WrestleMania memory?
I say WrestleMania 25 with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker. I think that match led the way for like the upcoming WrestleManias. And that was a great match.
It definitely was. And you're right. I think it absolutely did sort of like set the tone for the next chapter. Van, also in Georgia, what do you got? What's your WrestleMania memory?
It's got to be Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold. WrestleMania 14 or 15, that's had to be the best WrestleMania of all time, next to Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan. Those are two greatest WrestleManias of all time. Hey, Jason, you're doing a good job, man. You got fans down here in Savannah, Georgia.
Oh, man, that means the world, man. I appreciate it. And it was WrestleMania 14. I'll give James, our crack researcher, some credit on that. Popped right in on it. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate it. And again, we're just trying to bring everybody a little levity, have a little fun. Yusef in Oklahoma, give me your WrestleMania story.
Martin, we were in junior high. It's not really about the WrestleMania, but we were kind of broke, so we didn't have enough money to order. But my bud's mom said we could order if we came with the money. So we went and got 10 girls, and we told them that we were going to order this Titanic movie or something like that. When we got there, WrestleMania popped out, and they were all mad, but we got to watch it for free.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You know what, Yusuf, I appreciate your honesty. I don't think enough people are being honest about the pay-per-view trickery that was done. Like I said earlier, like there was that person that we all knew. For me, it was one particular kid in school that we didn't, most of us didn't really care about. But then when you got wind that like his mom was going to be willing to get the pay-per-view, oh, suddenly it was WrestleMania and Tyson fights. Those were the two reasons you would make a pay-per-view, friend, when I was a kid, all through it. Matt in Maine, what do you got as your favorite WrestleMania memory?
My WrestleMania moment was a couple other people were saying WrestleMania 14 down in Boston. I remember me and a classmate of mine when we both went to school in Boston ended up getting tickets, and all I remember was the Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Shawn. HBK and Tyson ripped off the DX shirt, and as Austin knocked HBK out.
I love it. Love the stroll down memory lane. That one's getting a lot of votes. I mean, a lot of people are in on WrestleMania 14. You know, again, for me being a Macho Man guy, I'm all about Macho Man winning. But Derek in Jersey, Derek, you've got a different one here. What's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Yeah, you got to hear me out on this one. Cody versus the Big Show. Earlier that year, they had teased Goldust and Cody maybe fighting, but instead it was the Big Show. And the reason it's one of my favorites is because we didn't get that Goldust and Cody feud until AEW years later. So if you look back at that match, what could have been was ultimately fulfilled in AEW years later.
That's awesome. I love that. See, the tie-in is great. Thanks for your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep giving me your favorite WrestleMania moments. We're going to keep doing that, in fact, next. But we're also going to get a little expertise on it. So we're going to keep the deep dive coming. We'll do all that next. But first, It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with zero holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as the big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. There's no contract, full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. More of your favorite WrestleMania moments and some expert all coming up next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We've been asking you guys, what's your favorite WrestleMania story? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Great way to get in on the conversation there. You can tweet me some of your favorite memories. Again, you can also call us 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Getting a lot of votes for Macho Man at different points. We're getting a lot of votes at this point for WrestleMania 14, which has absolutely been massive. So we continue to get votes for that. Very few, although Raider Tom came in and said WrestleMania 1. Mr. T and the Hulkster, Mean Gene sang the anthem. Ali was a guest referee. I was stationed in Hawaii in the Marine Corps, and we had to go to the field, so we taped it and watched it weeks later. First and foremost, Raider Tom, thanks for your service. That's incredible of you. Secondly, we're going to read that because of that. Third, though, I mean, WrestleMania 1 might have the nostalgia being the first one. I don't know if it's necessarily the best one, at least to most of us. Look, part of this is because we're getting WrestleMania this weekend. The question is, what's it mean to everybody right now? I know we usually react to first take, and we do that throughout the course of the show. However, Triple H, WWE Executive Vice President, was on Golic and Wingo today and talked a little bit about the WWE being the distraction that people need.
We're an entertainment company, you know, and we kind of cross that line between both sports and entertainment. I think in this time, particularly right now, where everybody's going through this, you know, this pandemic and just unsure about everything and just nervous and hearing it and getting barraged by it 24/7, that in a time like this, you need entertainment more now than ever. And for us, if we can create a, you know, safely, obviously, first and foremost is the safety of our staff, crew, and talent. But if we can create a diversion, if we can create an entertainment source that allows people to forget about all this crap for a couple of hours, then that's worth it to us. And we feel like that is our obligation, is to entertain people.
And look, it feels like it's more important than ever. I keep saying, what do we need right now? We need some level of escapism. There's nothing I can do about the pandemic we're in. And as much as we've spent a lot of this show talking about things like the Texans and Brady and the NBA, we'll continue to do those things. But if we can have a little escapism from everything, that's part of why I continue to disagree with some of my peers about the NFL draft. Yes, there are more important things going on in the world right now than anything sport or sport entertainment related. We'll all acknowledge that, and I'll do it all day. But at some point, do we want and need escapism? Yes. I mean, look at living room concerts that we're seeing. You know, we got Garth and Trisha a couple of nights ago out there just doing a living room concert on the heels of iHeart doing it over the course of the last weekend. Why? Because people are starved for some level of escapism to forget what's going on. That's a huge part of it. Now, the other part of this is staying safe. And Triple H made it clear that everybody in the WWE had the option on whether or not to be a part of this.
Any of our performers or staff or crew that don't want to be a part of this, everybody has their, you know, their personal feelings of it or their nervousness of it or also pre-existing conditions or family conditions or anything. There's no obligation or pressure on anybody's part to do this. If they want to do it, they're welcome to be a part of it. If they don't, it's not going to be held against them. And they're not required to be in this.
First, take your take on ESPN News. That's an important part of this to note. So, now we're going to be joined by ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski. I know that sounds strange, and you're saying, why? Well, first of all, I tell you all the time to check out the Daily. ESPN Daily today is particularly good because Greg's on it talking wrestling. Look, Greg covers the NHL, but like many of us, I mean, Sean Farnham actually called. Of all the shows I've ever hosted, Sean Farnham's never called in on the hotline, but he did today because he's a wrestling fan. Greg Wyshynski joins us now, not to talk hockey. We're going to talk wrestling with Greg. Greg, thanks for some time. First and foremost, I hope that you're staying safe. What's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Well, you know, the match that taught me that wrestling could be something more than two 300-pound guys kind of rolling around in a ring together was the Macho Man Randy Savage-Ricky Steamboat match in WrestleMania 3. They had told the story for months about Steamboat getting injured, and then they have what was by far the best wrestling match I had ever seen. The athleticism, the way it was meticulously planned by both of the wrestlers. It was that moment where I was like, okay, this could be something more than what I've been watching as a kid. And from that point on, you know, it opened my eyes to the possibilities of the stories they could tell in the ring.
Any hesitation, you know, given how much you cover the NHL and you understand the sports world right now, do you have any hesitation in the WWE still making this event happen?
Absolutely. And I think that's a natural reaction, not only to WrestleMania, but also to WWE and AEW, their competitor, continuing to create television, you know, when at a time where, you know, we've been all told that essential businesses should be closed, we should all be social distancing, and, you know, they're having cast and crew come to put on these shows on a weekly basis, and WrestleMania is no different. Now, the WWE has taken steps. Stephanie McMahon told Variety that obviously anybody who's showing symptoms isn't going to be in the building. They're working with doctors to get your temperature taken. If you have a temperature over 100.4 degrees, you're automatically asked to leave the tapings. That's going to be the same situation for WrestleMania as they tape these matches leading up to this weekend. So they are taking precautions, but it does kind of run counter to every other thing that we've seen, not only in sports but in entertainment, that have been canceled and postponed because of coronavirus.
Is there some, let me stretch my building blocks here. Is there some sort of takeaway from the WWE doing WrestleMania that can be taken from the NFL as they look at how to approach the NFL draft?
I mean, I think, like you said before we hopped on, the show must go on aspect, I think, is something that the rest that WWE has always sort of put out there. You know, the NFL draft is going to be interesting because I think this is actually going to be the template for what the NHL and other sports are going to do going forward with their own drafts. You know, how do you do it from different locations? Can you do it from the comfort of your own home? I kind of take solace in the idea that you're going to have NFL GMs acting like we do when we do our fantasy draft, sitting in their rec room with a beer and a bunch of chips in their sweatpants, drafting a team for themselves. But as far as the WWE goes, I mean, look, it's a complicated thing, because you have a few different competing aspects. You obviously have the financial stake in WrestleMania happening. It's a huge driver of subscriptions to the WWE network each year. They're doing free trials of the network, but you have to be a paid subscriber in order to watch WrestleMania. So that's a huge money situation for the WWE. Then also, from a logistics standpoint, you got to remember, these storylines, these tales they tell, these feuds, they've been developing over the course of months. And after WrestleMania, traditionally, they transition to the next thing. Then now we're telling different stories after WrestleMania. This is always the payoff event. So when Triple H talks about, you know, giving something to their fans, it's kind of giving them the finality of these stories they've been telling. Imagine watching a season of narrative television, and then in the season finale, all of a sudden, it's like a rerun. You know, so I think they're trying to do right by the stories they've been telling as well.
We're talking to ESPN senior NHL writer, but for the purpose of this conversation, wrestling connoisseur Greg Wyshynski. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. So let's talk about those storylines as they come to a head. What match are you looking forward to the most?
All right, the match I'm looking forward to the most is a wrestler by the name of Edge. He's returned after a rather lengthy layoff. He retired, actually, due to injury. They brought him back at the Royal Rumble in January. And it looked like he was going to reunite with his old tag team partner, Randy Orton. But uh-oh, you can't trust that Randy Orton. And Randy Orton attacked him pretty viciously in the ring. Looked like he was trying to re-injure his neck that made him retire. And now they've got this big grudge match culmination of a feud thing happening at WrestleMania. So that from a nostalgia standpoint, there's a ton of it inherent in that match. But also just two really good workers as well. In that match as well. So that one for me is probably paramount. There's some other ones that are a little bit odder that seem like they're a bit thrown together. They've exhumed the Undertaker to be part of the card, for example, and put him in sort of a convoluted feud with AJ Styles. But for the most part, it's going to be an interesting card with a lot of stories they've been telling over the course of weeks.
Is there any, WrestleMania seems to always have a surprise moment. Is there some particular angle you're looking to that could be a surprise moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's the surprise moments that are going to be the catalyst for them is coronavirus. I mean, right now, the rumor and innuendo can be found all over the internet, whether it's in the discussion forums or on what are called the dirt sheets, the news sites for wrestling, as far as which wrestlers were able to show up, which ones didn't, which ones they are rumored to not have taken part in matches that are already scheduled. So the real intrigue is not necessarily what surprise guests are going to arrive at WrestleMania to run in during matches or, you know, celebrities you might not expect to be there. The real intrigue is the card that they have on their website right now that we've written about on ESPN.com. I did my lapsed fans guide to WrestleMania this week if you want to catch up on all the storylines. Are those the actual matches we're going to see? Because keep in mind, they've been taping them now for, you know, about a week. They're all going to be pre-taped. They're actually going to be matches not held in their performance center. They're going to be held in different locations as well. So a lot of that information has been on lockdown. There's not been a lot of spoilers out there, but there's been a lot of speculation that the card that we see may not necessarily be the one that's actually broadcast this weekend.
Greg, the real question here is, like, what's it going to take? I found out earlier today Farnham's a big fan. He went last year with Joe Tess. We're finding all these ESPN people. When are we putting together a watch party where we all hang out in one room?
That's a great question, man. You know, wrestling is an interesting thing because, I've been a fan since I was a kid. We just talked about a WrestleMania that was held in the late 1980s, right? So that puts a time frame for you. There are times when you can freely discuss your admiration of professional wrestling, and then there are times you kind of stick it in your back pocket and don't want to tell anybody that you're a professional wrestling fan. I think it's okay to be a fan now. In fact, on ESPN.com, if you go to the NHL side, we got the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs to pick all the matches for WrestleMania this weekend. He is a proud wrestling fan. I think a lot of fans didn't realize that, and he was kind enough to pick the matches. So you never know where we're lurking, Jason, in society, the wrestling fanatics. But yeah, there seem to be more than a few right now at ESPN, and we should probably take full advantage of that with a watch party at some point.
Yeah, we're going to do one of those digital watch parties. Check out the ESPN Daily today. Greg Wyshynski going to break it down for you. Greg, we appreciate your time. I know, obviously, you're usually in the NHL world, but it's great to hear this side of you, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
This is part of what we're doing today. More of your favorite WrestleMania moments coming up. Plus, which 3-peat team was the best 3-peat team? You'll hear the First Take crew on that thought next. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We'll get a little bit more of your take coming in just a second. 888-SAY-ESPN. What's your favorite WrestleMania memory? 888-729-3776. Before we get there, which Bulls three-peat team was better? Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to debate it.
To me, it was the first. It was the first because it was Jordan at his best in his prime. And Scottie Pippen had really elevated. They were youthful, and their defensive tenacity was extraordinary. They could press you full court anytime they wanted to and wreak absolute positive havoc upon you, as they did against the Lakers, as they did against the Portland Trailblazers, as they did against the Phoenix Suns. You got to remember those teams they were going up against. Yes, you were going up against Magic, and it wasn't with Worthy and Kareem and all of those guys the first go round, but they ultimately went through the Pistons in order to get there. The second go round, the Portland Trailblazers, people keep forgetting how good they were. They had Drexler, they had Terry Porter and these boys, so you can't ignore that. And then that Phoenix team with Barkley, yes, you had Barkley, but Kevin Johnson could really, really ball. Dan Marley was a big-time dude coming off the bench as well. And so when you looked at the Phoenix squad as well, I just think that I take into account all of those things and who they went against when the Knicks and Pat Riley brought bad boy basketball to the Garden, and they were going up against the New York Knicks. Reggie Miller and the Indiana Pacers were trying to ascend as well. The list goes on and on. I think the first team, because of its youth and its defensive tenacity and the three-headed monster they had I wouldn't say a monster, but they had three-headed guys or four-headed guys. You could distribute 18 to 24 fouls with Cartwright and all of those boys. I just think from a complete package, the first 3-peat team was a little bit better because Jordan and Pippen were in the primes of their career, and they were better.
I actually think Pippen was in his prime the second go-round, but Jordan was absolutely in his prime the first go-round. That's the greatest player ever, and I understand why you would like that first three-peat because Jordan was in his prime. Let's not forget, the second three-peat, Jordan was a shooter now from three. He was hitting 40%, 37% in different seasons from three. He wasn't doing that the first time around, so he had added an element to his game. But beyond that, Stephen A., there are two reasons why the second three-peat was the better Bulls team, even if its best player wasn't quite as good. By the way, the second three-peat Jordan is still clearly better than anyone else who ever lived. So really, we're comparing him to himself. He's even better the first time. But you have to understand, like, I resent this thing where the big three, and you mentioned Kukoc. Kukoc was an excellent player. The big three was Jordan, Pippen, and Dennis Rodman, Hall of Famer, arguably greatest defensive player of all time. Really strong argument, greatest defensive player since Bill Russell, meaning of the modern era. You know who his competition is? Well, one of them is Scottie Pippen on the same team. You could argue that the three greatest defensive players at their positions, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, were all on the same team. Rodman grabbing 17 boards a game, defending small forwards, power forwards, center, at elite levels, by the way. It was amazing.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Speaking of amazing, you guys have been amazing all show. If you missed my conversations with Greg Wyshynski or Sarah Barshop today, go check them out on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by the Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? We're getting your take, your favorite WrestleMania memory. We get ready for WrestleMania this weekend. Jason in Tennessee, what do you got as your favorite WrestleMania memory?
Yeah, I don't remember which number it was, you know, but it was the WrestleMania where McMahon and Donald Trump had a bet, and the loser had to get their head shaved, and it was against Bobby Lashley and Umaga, and Lashley won, and McMahon had to get his head shaved right there in the middle of the ring, and that was my favorite there.
I love it. Anytime we get some sort of a head shaving, you know, when you're doing embarrassing things in the ring, you know that's going to be good. Canik in Arizona. Hope I'm saying that right. Canik in Arizona, what's your favorite WrestleMania memory?
I have two favorites. One is where John Cena won his first WWE title against JBL, and that was at WrestleMania 21, and WrestleMania, I think, 22 is where John Cena retained the title against Triple H, and my favorite referee, Mike Yoda was there at the scene, and I really enjoyed it very well.
Oh, thanks for calling. I love your take on it. Enjoy the weekend, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, in Virginia, give me your favorite WrestleMania memory.
My favorite, WrestleMania 5, Macho Man Randy Savage versus Hulk Hogan, the explosion of the Mega Powers, the whole feud over Miss Elizabeth. It was just a great storyline. I was 10 years old. I loved it. I'm 41 now, and I still watch.
Yeah, man. See, I'm telling you, like, I'm 40. I'm almost 43. And when you get into that age, we all feel it. Like, we're drawn to it. Tony in Kansas, what do you got as your favorite WrestleMania memory?
My favorite WrestleMania memory is going to be WrestleMania 12, where Shawn Michaels and Bret Hitman Hart went at it. I believe it was in Shawn Michaels' hometown of El Paso, Texas. It was an Iron Man match, which was 60 minutes long. At the end of the 60 minutes, Bret Hart had him on the sharpshooter, and they had to stop the match because 60 minutes was up. Vince McMahon came in and said there must be a winner. And right after the restart, I think Shawn Michaels hit him with the sweet chin music, and it got Shawn Michaels his first championship.
Tony, love it, man. Love the stroll down memory lane, especially that was a heck of a match. Love it. You guys have been awesome today. Love the memories coming up. Hopefully we've had a little fun distracting. Coming up, Will Kane's going to be next. He'll talk some WrestleMania and strong words for Rex Ryan. This has been First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.